Before we continue with the normal program we have of Dhikr, we are very fortunate to have with us Brother Waqas, who comes from the UK, and he is doing sterling work amongst the Syrian refugees in Greece. And he just happened to meet me before Isha now, and I thought it would be a very good opportunity to listen to his karguzari, the work that they are doing there, the conditions of our Muslim brothers and sisters, extremely appalling. We feel the pain. Normally we are so content with our luxuries that we have, that we forget our Muslim brothers and sisters and young children and young there who are living in refugee camps. They do not know where the next meal is coming from. They're being attacked all the time. So inshallah, we call upon Brother Waqas. He's from the UK, inshallah. For about 15-20 minutes, he will address us, and then we continue with the Zikr program, inshallah. He has to leave immediately after his talk because they've got for another program, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, can I thank Monasal for allowing us, me, Brother Waqas, and children Adam, to have this opportunity. Alhamdulillah. All praise belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no Lord or deity except Him. He is one and He is alone. And may the best and choice of all blessings be poured upon the seal of all messengers, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, brothers, I come from the UK. I'm part of a charity called Children of Adam. Children of Adam, we work alongside Al Imdad Foundations. We're the guests of Al Imdad Foundation in Greece, in South Africa. We've been here for the last few days, just going around, just reminding the brothers, really, and the sisters, and where we've got an opportunity, just trying to reconnect the people back to the state of certain parts of this ummah. One thing we forget, unfortunately, even working within the charity sector, that we've become very social media savvy, and whatever is in front of us in the news, that's the only thing we seem to take concern about. And we seem to have forgotten, if it's not in the news, if it's not in the media, we forget that the Muslims are suffering. And unfortunately, this is I come as just a mouthpiece on behalf of the people that are struggling. And I'll just give you a little few stories and examples of the situation. As you know, the Syria conflict is going into its 7th, 8th year, sadly. So when the conflict first started, they started fleeing into Lebanon, Jordan, Turkey. A couple of years into that, they started to head towards Europe. On the island of Lesvos, Greece, is a little island. It contains about 60,000 people, 40,000 in its main capital, Mytilene. The Syrian refugees, you might wonder, why did they pick this island? There's certain portions of Mytilene, if you stand in Greece, you can actually see the light still on in Turkey. That's how close it seems. So a lot of people, they took the opportunity to flee from whatever they were fleeing from. They were put into dinghy boats, the sort of boats you'd see sometimes at the seasides or going out with your kids to theme parks. They should have 3, 4 maybe people in the dinghies, and unfortunately these that we used to receive had up to 50 or 60 people on it. Many women were separated from their families. Many people didn't make the crossings. It's believed 1 in 15 was unfortunately didn't even make the crossing of a few miles. So the Syrian refugees kept coming to Mytilene, the Lesvos island. From there they were going to Athens. The borders of Europe were widely open. They could then from there go into Germany, Austria, Switzerland, etc. A treaty was made with Turkey and with the EU, and unfortunately all the borders were shut. For a few years the boats slowed down, but they've not completely stopped. Since January we've had over 500 people come back into Greece. The refugee camps at the time were made emergency shelter to hold 2,000 people, and to this day some of those camps hold 7,000 people. So the same camps that were designed for 2,000 people, the toilets, the shower facilities, the hygiene facilities, are now catering for 7,000 people. People can't go back, Turkey won't take them, Europe won't take them forward. Now Greece in itself is going through a financial crisis. They're doing whatever that they can. And we witnessed some great work by some of the charities, Muslim and non-charities, on the ground in Greece. So what's happening to these people now? They're stuck in these refugee camps. And now they're being exploited. There's people going around human traffickers. We've heard multiple stories, unfortunately, about our little children and our young mothers being raped. There's organ harvesting going on, so somebody will go out, maybe voluntarily, may think, if I give away kidney, I'll get a few €100, I can maintain some izzah for my wife and child. But unfortunately, once you sedate somebody, they've got no control of their body. People will violate and take the opportunity. So unfortunately, a year or so ago, we came across a young mother who had a 7-year-old child who was brutally gang-raped within the refugee camp. And at that point, we thought, we need to now intervene. There's enough of us giving food. Alhamdulillah, people of South Africa, Allah bless you, Allah reward you, Allah give you ajr. Because last time we came, we asked for donations for food parcels to feed them halal food. And you came together and we were able to distribute over 300,000 food parcels. May Allah reward you and accept. We've gone to now stage two. We need to intervene. My beautiful brothers, on the day, the night of just before Jummah, this is your ummah. These are your mothers. These are your daughters. When I talk about widowed women, I'm not talking about 50-year, 60-year-olds. I'm talking about women in their young 20s. They got married when they're 17 and 18. They were pregnant when their husbands got shaheed. They fled. I asked one of the mothers once, what do you call these boats? And she said, my son, we call these death boats. I said, oh, Ummi, why would you put yourself and your children on a boat that you yourself is calling a death boat? She said, oh, my son, what we are fleeing from is a lot worse than death. So from that point, I thought, I'll shut up, I'm not going to ask any more questions. We're just going to do it. So because of this little girl that got raped, we now go into the refugee camps. The most vulnerable children and women we're allowed to now take out legally. We've got a shelter in Athens, Greece. We can accommodate up to 12 families only at the moment because our funds are so short. There's about 50 people in there. One of the mothers, she's in her early 20s. She's got twin daughters and a little boy as well. She said, my husband became unwell at the crossing. He went into what I thought was an ambulance. And she says, unfortunately, we didn't find his body for a few days. And then we discovered him a few days later. They had cut him open, taken his kidney, his liver, his heart, everything. She said, I begged the authorities, let me see my husband. Let me say my final goodbyes. And she said that I couldn't even say goodbye to him. For when I looked into his eyes, they even took his eyes out. This is the Allah, this is the state that the Musliman are going through. We met multiple young children we thought were boys. And later it came to us that the mothers were cutting the girls' hairs, calling them now by Muhammad and Ali and other Muslim boys' names. Just perhaps that people will think that they're boys and they won't rape them. But how long, my beautiful brothers, we know with women's development, how long are you going to conceal this? So my thing today is just to come to you and just to explain to you and let you know that the dire situation of Greece is there. The Musliman cannot, there's about 65,000, they cannot go back, they cannot go forward. The least we can ask you as somebody from Children of Adam and from the charity at the Al-Imdad Foundation is please do not forget these people in your du'as. These are our mothers, these are our daughters. It was only yesterday these people lived in affluent lives, probably had more wealth than all of us in here. I met a man once and he was standing there, we were giving zakat, we were giving food passes out. And he started crying and just held my hand. And he said to me, oh my son, last year I was doing what you were doing in Syria. I was distributing my zakah. And this year I'm standing in this position and I'm eligible and it's my haq to now receive zakah. My beautiful brothers, life is very, very short. All the dunya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, all the wealth, it's a responsibility. Don't think it's through your akr. Don't think it's through your clever business ideas or you tricked this system or you did that. No, this is from Allah. And other people in this dunya, it's their haq to have this wealth as well. Please do remember them in your du'as. Remember the whole ummah in your du'as, whatever is happening. And unfortunately, my brothers, don't forget people. There's people struggling all over the world. But we should always feel. So I remember somebody said to me once, because I've come from the UK, and he said, look at the ummah. We are one body. The whole ummah is suffering. And he said, have you ever pondered us in the UK, similar to South Africa most probably, why are you not struggling? And he said two things. He said, either one, Allah is so happy with us, we are all guaranteed Jannah. Or two, perhaps we're not considered part of the ummah. And that really, my beautiful brothers, is something to ponder. If Muslims have been going through horrendous things throughout the world, why are we? Today I met a donor, and Ajib, we were talking about this. And as we were talking about this, we were ordering ice creams. because in a desert, and I'm thinking, what a crazy world we live in. There's people out there struggling. I've come here as a voice for them, yet we're sitting there eating ice creams in a dessert parlour. It's a crazy time. But do connect yourselves. Islam doesn't show nationality. Islam isn't about race. Islam is about more than that. Allah loves these people. There's so many, I'm not on them, there's Morans here, there's so many hadiths that people are shown. I know by Allah that people amongst them, there's a Hassan Basri there, there's an Imam Ghazali amongst them, there's somebody pious amongst them. And perhaps we're not doing the dawah in our West, that's what Allah is sending these people to our shores. But please, brothers, do remember them in your du'as, do stretch your hands out into your pockets, give for the pleasure of Allah. There's never, ever, ever any loss from giving. Just be sincere in it. We're not asking for great amounts of money. The whole shelter costs around £60,000 for a year, which is around R1 million. There's 12 families. Make dua, make intention, I'll cover one family, which is about R90,000. Whatever you can do, if nothing else, make the awareness. Perhaps there's a wali amongst yourselves and your cousins that maybe you tell them, and their dua is so beloved to Allah that boom, it's accepted. And the situation of dunya can change that. Allah has got the riches. Allah has got the kingdom. We've just forgot how to ask. I'm talking about myself. We forget how to take that from Allah. Allah doesn't care for the dunya. And the hadith comes in like, if Allah cared for the dunya, He wouldn't give the non-believers even water drink. It's not of concern to Allah. But it's in our faida. Uthman, Allah be pleased with his narrative, seems to have said, you know that your charity is not accepted until you know and you understand, I'm more in need of that good amal than the poor is of that beneficiaries of those goods. Remember, this is an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for you to give. It's an opportunity for you to make dua. It's an opportunity for you to share the message amongst your family and friends. And when you're distributing your zakat this Ramadan coming, the blessed month of all months, nobody, while within the charity sector, there's nobody like the Muslims. In the UK, we have Roman gypsies who dress up as Muslims and they go knocking doors. And often they've been asked, why do you dress like Muslims? They go, because whenever we ask from the Muslims, they never say no. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put some mercy, some blessing in our hearts. But utilize it, get together, let your family and friends know. The blessed month of Ramadan is here. You'll go without food for a few hours and you'll feel a little, I wouldn't say it's hunger, you feel a bit of inconvenience. I've sat with children with their mothers, asking their mothers, are we going to eat? I've seen mothers putting bricks in pots and just stirring them around, perhaps hoping that the kid will just think something's going to be cooked and he'll fall asleep. And this is the reality of the dunya. And our job is just to come to South Africa and just to remind all the brothers that their ummah is out there, and the mothers and the sisters and the people that are far and close are crying out and saying, Ya ummah, Ya, where is the ummah? So alhamdulillah, jazakallah khairan to Munasab and everybody who's allowed us, Al Imdad Foundation, to have these few moments. And forgive if I've said anything inappropriate, but for us it's just a matter of being a mouthpiece. The only thing we can do is go back when we meet them and say, look, we travel the world, we met the people, we pass on your message. And we pray that Allah gives you tawfiq to inshallah assist your brothers and sisters. And please do remember in your du'as. Jazakallah khairan.